We are in the offseason, and yeah, it is slow moving right now for your San Antonio Spurs. Obviously, everybody is still on Kawhi watch, and as of right now, there is no movement except for some bizarre thing that happened yesterday where a couple outlets were reporting something that everybody knew since back in March 2018 that the Spurs were going to offer Kawhi the Supermax. Duh. But other than that, it's been kind of quiet, at least as far as the Spurs roster is concerned, but there has been some movement on the non-roster, and I'm pretty sure you know what happened to the Silver Dancers. We're going to be talking about that, Becky Hammon, and we're going to react to Derek Mason. He is a Spurs writer at the Spurs Zone, and his rookie review and what he gave Derek White and Jaron Blossom game. So with that, welcome to Lockdown Spurs. This is Jeff Garcia, your host for today. I am the lead Spurs writer at News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29 San Antonio Spurs Zone. And yeah, I'm going to be joined by Tyler Clerkin, also writer at the Spurs Zone, in a few minutes. But basically, that has been it. And I think the biggest firestorm of late has been the Silver Dancers. Now, if you have not heard, the Spurs have recently announced that a new 35 co-ed team, we'll call it the Hype Team, will be taking over fan hypeness next season. As they put it, acrobats, jumping jacks, tumbling, stuff like that. And in essence, that pretty much all but ended the 26-year run for the Silver Dancers. That's right. That team is now disbanded. So to react to that news, and as I mentioned, Becky Hammon news, we'll touch on that in a bit. Tyler, you heard the news. Was this kind of a head scratcher for you, or is this something that you're kind of like, well, who cares?
I mean, it could go either way for me. First initial response, I was just kind of like, whoa, you know, it's kind of weird. But then in a way, I kind of sat back, took it in, and I was just like, maybe it'll be cool. You never know. I mean, acrobatics, stuff like that, crazy things, gets the crowd involved even more. And I'm not like downplaying the Silver Dancers, but I mean, maybe this new hype team can get the crowd more hype than the dance team could. So I don't know. I'm 50-50 on it. I want to see really kind of what they're going to do with it next season. So like I said, right now, 50-50, but initial reaction, I was kind of shocked.
Yeah, I was shocked too. And I get it. The listeners, you're probably not here for Silver Dancer news, but I get that. But I mean, you got to put this in perspective. The Silver Dancers have been with the team, as I mentioned, for 26 seasons. Yeah, they've been around that long. Crazy to believe that. And it has really impacted Spurs fans if you've been on social media. Tyler can tell you right now that when the news hit, Spurs fans, a lot of them were kind of up in arms saying, what gives, what happened. The Spurs cited lack of fan interest, Tyler. Something about that doesn't sit well with me, because when I cover games, whether that be at home or during Spurs events in San Antonio outside the AT&T Center, Spurs fans seem to generally be wanting to take pictures with the Silver Dancers and seem to get into, you know, them hyping up the team during timeouts. You know, am I missing something here?
I mean, that's kind of a weird thing to just say, like, lack of interest, because how do you really kind of, like, judge that, you know? I mean, like you said, in my eyes, now granted, I've never been to an official home Spurs game, but like you said, during timeouts or just anything that's involved with them, I feel like the fans are always all about it. Like, they love taking pictures. They're always cheering them on. I mean, I have a hard time believing that it's lack of fan interest, because like I said, how do you judge that?
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just, that's weird. I don't really trust that stat, if you want to call it a stat.
Yeah. But lo and behold, Spurs fans have trying to come to the rescue. A recent petition has surfaced asking Spurs fans to basically sign it, and hopefully that'll be enough to change the mind of Spurs Sports and Entertainment and their decision of disbanding the team. And I mean, it's craziness. Yeah, it's really impacted the community of San Antonio, the Spurs fan base. It was kind of out of left field. It was kind of like, where did this come from? According to some of the dancers themselves, or now ex-dancers, they were just pretty much told right on the spot. I mean, there was no buildup. There was no, you know, hey, fair warning, this is going to happen. They were just told from one day to the next. So personally, I think there's something more what's going on behind the scenes. It could be linked to the whole Hulk divorce. Who knows if that's what's going on right now? Maybe there's like some sort of struggle who created that. I don't know. I don't know anything. That's just my speculation. But they're going in a different direction. So thanks for 26 years, Silver Dancers. Hopefully the Spurs Sports Entertainment will change their mind down the road. All right, so let's go to transition now, Tyler, to the other big news, and that is the Spurs assistant coaching carousel. As you're well aware of, Tyler, and everybody else knows, James Borrego is now a ex-Spurs assistant coach. He is now the head coach of the Charlotte Hornets. And why is that significant? Well, because Spurs assistant coaches have been in the spotlight: Ettore Messina, Ime Udoka, and Becky Hammon. Now, outside of Borrego, everything's kind of cooled regarding Udoka and Messina. The last was Messina was linked to the Hornets job and also has been linked to the Bucks job. And I believe it was the Suns job as well. And Ime Udoka, I believe, was also linked to the Bucks job as well. But once again, Becky Hammon is back in the spotlight. Now, in case you have not heard, she is on the Pistons' radar now. The Pistons are looking to fill that coaching void now that Stan Van Gundy is long and gone, and it's parted ways. It's Pistons, Hammond. What do you think, Tyler? Is that a good fit for her? If you're her, what is going through your mind right now, thinking, okay, I got the Pistons' job possibly in front of me. Take it or not, or wait for something better to come along?
I mean, for her, I would say take it. She's obviously a great coach, a great talent, and she's starting to gain a lot of respect around the league. And I feel like she just right now, it doesn't even really matter the team. She needs a head coaching job. Yeah. Because I feel like nobody's going to give her the respect that Spurs fans or anybody for that matter really can unless she proves she can do it. And so if she gets a job offer for the Kings, the Grizzlies, anyone, any team, I take it. I mean, and she's got talent like Blake Griffin and I'm blanking.
Andre Drummond.
Yeah. I mean, those are two great talents, and maybe she could be the key to like fix and figure out how can I make these players work together well. I mean, you never know. There's endless possibilities, but if I'm her and I get that job offer, then I'm taking it 100%.
You see, I as much as I see her getting just a coaching job, I want her to get the right coaching job. Because what if she goes to, I don't know anything, but what if she goes to the Pistons job and they suck and they're the worst team in the NBA? You know she's going to get a lot of flack for that. You know, it's that ugly side of this whole news about her becoming the first female head coach in the NBA could arise, and you could hear something like, well, look who's coaching it, Hammond. She's inexperienced. She doesn't have the team. She's coaching a bunch of men. That ugly side could pop up. You're looking at the Bucks job. I mean, I thought if she landed that job, my goodness, she is set with the Greek Freak, Antetokounmpo, Parker. And they're a team on the rise. But that, you know, obviously went to former head coach, assistant coach for the Spurs, Mike Budenholzer. I disagree with you. I think she needs to find the right coaching job with a particular NBA team, not necessarily just a coaching job. And besides, what is two more seasons under Pop's wing gonna hurt her anyway?
I can see what you're definitely saying. In fact, I don't know. It's tough. Like I said, if I get that job offer, I'm taking it. If I'm her, but that's just me. I feel like I hate to beat a dead horse, but it's like she just needs to get that job. Because what if, they could suck, and that's obviously a possibility. But what if she does really well? Mm-hmm. You know, like what if she kind of brings them back and they're fighting? I mean, they're fighting for a playoff spot anyway, but what if they're like securing a good playoff spot, a good seed, and then she's getting more respect? That can lead to more job offers as well. I mean, you never know. I mean, coaches get fired all the time. Look at the Raptors. I mean, they just had the number one seed and fired the coach. So it's like, I don't know. It's a weird situation. But I completely understand what you're saying. And yeah. I'm assuming that you can probably understand where I'm coming from as well. So it's like, it's 50-50, you know. But like I said, if I'm her, I'm taking any job that's thrown at me so I can really kind of prove myself further.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think, there was something to be said about just getting your feet wet, and she can definitely do that with the Pistons if they do offer her. Now, look, it was reported via Detroit News was that she's simply on their radar. She hasn't, there has been no news about her getting an interview with the Pistons job, unless they've done that, and it's been hush-hush since. But needless to say, should she land a job with the Pistons or any other team down the road, there's going to be, I think in my opinion, there's going to be a lot of pressure on her to perform because she's been hyped up big time, Tyler, really much. Mm-hmm. And if she falls short, I think a lot of just a lot of eyes are going to be on her. Just a lot of questions are going to be on her. Like, was she ready? Was she overhyped? Did she leave the Spurs assistant coaching ranks too soon? So either way you slice it, Tyler, it's she's in a rock and a hard place. She's in a great place in the sense of she makes history and bravo, but I think she's not looking at that. I think she's looking beyond just history. I think she's looking at just simply doing a good job, Tyler. Your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. She's smart. We all know that. So mm-hmm. she's obviously going to make the right decision for her. And when it comes down to it, it's her decision, you know. As much as anyone, the Spurs fan wants her to stay, the Spurs organization wants her to stay. If she thinks she's ready to go, then she's going to be ready to go. But maybe she's on your side and saying, I'm not ready and I need to step back and learn more from Pop and this organization and just try to get back to winning a championship. If she can do something like that, then yeah, I feel like then she'd be ready. But for me, I wouldn't be surprised if she left.
No, I mean, and I don't blame her if she's left. I mean, she's getting a lot of a vote of confidence. I mean, I think you mm-hmm. wrote about the Pau Gasol letter that he wrote about her on the Players Tribune, why, yeah. You know, she's more than just a female looking for a head coaching job. She's just simply a head coach. You have guys, yep. I mean, hell, even the other current female assistant coach out in Sacramento, I forget her name, so forgive me right now, but she recently gave a ring endorsement for Hammond, saying she should be the first one, like that she should definitely become that. And so everybody's on her side, and rightfully so. Her on-the-court resume is awesome. She's Hall of Fame bound. Her jersey's retired in the AT&T Center. She's been with the Spurs for X amount of years. She's definitely on teams' radars. It's going to happen, and sooner than later. But if it's going to be sooner, I just want it to be the right place for her, because you stick her in no man's land, let's just pretend like the Sacramento or something like that, then oh my God, you know, I mean, it's going to take years before she can turn that team around. And in today's age of the NBA, where owners and, you know, brass want results now, you know, they're not going to be like the process in Philadelphia, stick with Brett Brown forever until it gets it going. Look what happened. You mentioned Dwayne Casey. He took the Raptors to the number one seed in the East, and yeah, maybe they got swept by the Cavs, but he's also the coach of the year, and he was doing something right. And but it's you know, I think what's his name, the GM out there, I can never pronounce his name, Ujari, something like that. Mm-hmm. He wanted results now, so they let him go. But Dwayne Casey is a fine coach, so go figure, Tyler. You know, look. Am I sitting here saying that she's not ready? No. All I'm sitting here saying, I hope she just makes the right choice in picking a team. Your final thought on this topic, Tyler?
It's just a funny business, man. Like I couldn't help but laugh whenever you're just talking about all the things the Raptors did well, first seed, great record, just everything, and then they get beat by LeBron James again, and it's just like, nope, that's it. And it's just like, yeah. And now he might win Coach of the Year. It's just like, I don't know. It's funny, but my final thoughts on the whole Becky Hammon situation, I definitely, like I said, I agree with what you're saying, but in my eyes, I think she's ready. I think she's got enough experience with Pop. I mean, it's not like she was learning from some mediocre coach for these last few years. She's learning from one of the most well-respected coaches in the history of the NBA. Mm-hmm. So I feel like she is ready, but I'd like to see her stay for next year, especially if we can work out something with Kawhi and get our team back going into the right direction. I feel like she could be a critical piece in that. So if she stays, I'll be happy. But if she goes, I'll still be happy for her.
Who knows? Maybe she could be waiting in the wings to take over that head coaching spot in San Antonio should Popovich one day hang them up. We shall see. All right, on this very brief, but more of a, I guess, catching you up on news, Locked On Spurs, we're going to finish this out with a discussion about the Spurs rookies. pretty much like a season review of the two rookies that the Spurs had, that being Jerron Blossomgame and Derek White. Recently, one of our co-writers, Derek Machen, wrote an article at the Spurs Zone, which you can find at News4SanAntonio.com and Fox29SanAntonio.com, basically grading them. What did he see? The pros, the cons, the likes, dislikes of the two rookies, White and Blossomgame. And at the end of the day, he ended up giving them, drum roll please, a B. A B. Do you agree with that? And why or why not, Tyler?
I think that's fair. For the most part, because they played really well in the G League. And I think that obviously speaks for itself because of the championship they won. Mm-hmm. So that says a lot, you know, and they're rookies and they're coming in, they're playing at a higher level than they did in college. But I don't think that deserves anything higher than a B, because we barely saw Derek White play the season for the Spurs. Maybe I don't know how many games off the top of my head, so forgive me, but mm-hmm. it couldn't have been more than, I'd say, at least 10. Mm-hmm. So, and Jaron, I mean, he never even, Jaron, sorry, I don't know how to pronounce it. he didn't even step foot on the floor. So it's like, I definitely agree with the B ranking, because they showed us that they have the potential to do it and play well at this level. But I feel like next season, they're probably going to get a lot more playing time for the actual San Antonio Spurs, and that's when we're going to see the true test. So I definitely feel like a B is a perfect grade for them.
All right. I'm going to start off with Derek White. Now, just to clarify, listeners, he appeared in 17 games with the Spurs, and he averaged 3.2 points per game, 1.5 rebounds, 0.5 assists in about 8.2 minutes. Now, he shot 48% from the field and 61% from the three-point line for the Spurs in San Antonio, not Austin. Obviously, he only took 13 shots, so that's why it's such a high percentage. But nevertheless, he had a season high at Houston for San Antonio, 14 points, and that basically much is it for him. He has a rookie game. He had a career high in the playoffs. He only was 1 year, 7 points at the Warriors in the postseason. But what you really want to focus on is, like Tyler mentioned, is his G League performance. Now, look, is this guy showing some promise? Yes, he does. He's a big guard. He plays defense. He's obviously much more athletic than what we have right now. Tony Parker, look, he's already meeting father time right now, so we got to forgive TP. But he's right there, and he's not afraid to drive. He's not afraid to pretty much shine in the spotlight if he has to. Now, in Austin, for the season, he averaged 20 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, 3.4 assists, 1.1 steals in about 28 minutes per game. And he also shot 45% from the field and 87% from the free throw line. But in the postseason, where the Austin Spurs became the G League the G League champions for 2018, he upped his game, 24.8 points per game, upped his assists to 4.0, upped his steals to 1.8 in 32 minutes per game, and even upped his free throw percentage to 94%. The guy was a stud in the G League postseason, guiding the Austin team to the title. We're going to talk about Blossomgame in a bit. But Tyler, what I like out of this is not necessarily the numbers that he posted in the G League and the solid numbers that he posted with the Spurs in just a limited time, 17 games. It's that championship experience. I don't know why, but something about that is making me feel good about him heading to next season. Should the Spurs give him more run, he's already tasted what it's like to go through a league, a season, and win a title. He has that winning taste now. And I think that's going to carry over for him should the Spurs give him more minutes next season. Your thoughts, Tyler?
Definitely. And then whenever you were saying that, I kind of started thinking his whole career, his story, how he got here, mm-hmm. is just based on solely the hard work that he's put in, you know. And now, since he's, like you said, he's got a taste of winning, mm-hmm. he's going to be even more hungry, and that's going to make him want to work even harder because, yeah, it's great to win a G League title, but imagine that feeling of winning an NBA title. You know, a feeling that not many players get to really experience. I mean, we know Kawhi Leonard has and Tony and Manu, obviously, but we want to see these younger guys kind of take the reins and maybe lead this new and improved Spurs team to a title. So I definitely agree, and I feel like that's it can only benefit him. But like I said, the G League and the NBA, in my eyes anyway, two completely different leagues. Mm-hmm. But it's still great to see him winning and playing well in that league because it's just going to prepare him even more.
Yeah, he erupted for 35 points in the G League Finals Game 1 versus the Raptors 905. And yes, as Tyler mentioned, it is the G League and different levels of competition. But, you know, it just proves, like, when given minutes, that he can produce. And you're hoping that translates into next season. Now, look, Pop is notorious for giving rookies like White pretty much shining the bench, warming up the bench. And he even said it to begin with this past season, saying that White is going to pretty much know what it is to hold down the Spurs bench. But that experience in Austin, learning the Spurs system, winning a title with Austin, leading a team, showing what he can do on both ends of the court. Now, look, this guy can knock down shots, whether it be downtown, mid-range, or drive to the paint. He needs to work on, in my opinion, just becoming more consistent. I think he needs to add a little bit more size to him, and I think that'll come in time. But I like what I'm seeing. If we're going to do individuals now, I'm actually going to give White a B+. What do you think, Tyler?
I'm not going to argue that.
Okay.
I feel like he's definitely – I would say he's definitely earned the respect of a lot, but I can definitely see where he's earned even more respect for certain people, if that makes sense. So if someone like you pays so much attention, obviously, to the Spurs and the organization and everything that goes on there, so you definitely have more of a understanding for like what he's going to do in the future. So I definitely can see where you're coming from with a B+, and I'm not going to argue that.
Right.
I feel like he definitely deserves it, and the fact that he was able to lead that team so well, that just speaks wonders. So yeah, I can see what you're saying, but for me, I'd still give him a B. I'm with Derek on this one.
All right, let's go on and go now to Blossom Game. Now, as Tyler mentioned, Blossom Game did not see any action with the Spurs whatsoever, the main team, not the Austin team, San Antonio's, put it that way, at all. He was pretty much just in the G League. That does not mean that he was putting up numbers or raising eyebrows with the Spurs fans, or maybe, just maybe, with the Spurs coaching staff as well. Now, in the G League with Austin, he averaged 16.5 points per game, 8.2 rebounds per game, and he was a part of the 2018 G League title team out in Austin. He definitely was a draft and stash kind of way, in the sense that they didn't draft him overseas, but they stashed him in the G League. But this kid, he has size. He definitely has a motor. He has power, he has strength, and he's not afraid to go to the paint and finish at the rim. He can definitely run the floor. He can pass. I like what I see out of this forward. What do you think about Blossom Game?
To be completely honest with you, I really didn't watch much of him. Mm-hmm. But from what I did see, the highlight videos, obviously, we're going to see the best stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he's definitely promising. You know, I think he's a great pick. And Rehome, that's who Rehome interviewed a few times, correct?
Yes, Rehome did. That's Blossom Game. Interviewed him, yeah.
So it definitely seems like he's got a good head on his shoulder. You could tell he's definitely like ready to win and ready to take that next step and actually start competing with San Antonio Spurs. But from what I saw in the highlights, yeah, he's definitely promising. And I feel like he's going to be a player that I'm not going to say he's going to be a star. But he's definitely going to be a good role player, and I feel like that's what the Spurs have excelled in, is growing these players who may not have had high draft stock or anything like that. And I feel like he's definitely going to be the next case of moving forward, going to be a great role player for the Spurs. And with him playing so well in the G League, like I said, he's just very promising in my eyes.
Yeah. You know what he reminds me of? And a Udonis Haslem type. A dirty work guy that'll get down and dirty, get in the paint, bump some heads.
Teams need that.
Yeah, and I think the Spurs lacked that this past season.
I agree.
Didn't have that guy in the middle that is going to throw his body around, that's going to try to fight for rebounds, and isn't afraid to mix it up. So, is that a fair comparison, or am I projecting him too high? Should he make it to the NBA with San Antonio or maybe some other team?
No, I definitely can see what you're saying, because, like I said, from what I saw, yeah, it's pretty similar. I like that comparison. It's pretty pretty clever. So, but like we said earlier, you know, like that's what the Spurs need. They lack intensity. They lack hustle, and it's like you can't expect a 40-year-old Manu Ginobili to go out there and dive for balls, even though he does, but you can't expect it every single possession. And I feel like Blossom Game is, he could do that for the Spurs. So I like that comparison a lot.
All right, and I'm going to give him a B. I'm going to just give him a B. Why? Because he did not get any run in the NBA. I would have loved to see what he could do playing against NBA competition. I like what I see in the G League. There's still, you know, he definitely needs to develop a mid-range game, an outside game. That's the only knock I have on him. But he can love to play in that paint, and he can finish at the rim, and he'll run the floor. But if he can develop a kind of an outside shot, at least a little go-to jumper, I think that'll just open up his game tremendously. What is your grade for him?
I'm sticking with the B. Okay. I like that. I mean, it's fair. If you can play really well in the G League, I feel like then you're going to be able to, I wouldn't say carry everything back into the NBA, but you're definitely going to be able to compete. And I feel like right now he's definitely showing that he can compete. So I'm really interested to see what he does within these next few years with the Spurs if he does get called up.
All right. So those are our thoughts and our reaction to Derek Machen's article, which you can find at the Spurs Zone at News4SanAntonio.com and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Do you agree with Derek? Do you agree with us? Do you think the grades are deserving of the two Spurs rookie from their rookie season? Let me know at JeffGarcia74@gmail.com. Or you can follow Tyler on Twitter at...
You can follow him on Twitter at TylerClerkin_5.
And we would also love to hear what you have to say about the Silver Dancers. I get it. I get it. It's not juicy like you want to hear about Kawhi Leonard or some of that, but it is Spurs related. And it has really touched the Spurs fans and the community in San Antonio. Do you agree that they should have been disbanded? Talk to Tyler about that or me. And what do you think about Becky Hammon? We'd love to hear what you have to say about Hammon and her chances at becoming an NBA head coach. And if she's ready, again, follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. But that was your quick news and notes, a lockdown Spurs, at least on this episode. And we'd love to talk to you. So please reach out to us. It is the off season. We got to generate some sort of content for you. So here you go. This was it. But for Tyler Clerk and I am Jeff Garcia, and we're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.